welcome to episode 3 of Vague and Unconvincing. I'm your host, Wim, and thank you for downloading this podcast. Vague and Unconvincing is sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles, hand-poured country candles, and more. Visit us online at stephaniescountrycandles.com for a complete scent listing and all of our available products. That is Stephanie's, S-T-E-P-A-H-A-N-I-E-S, countrycandles.com. And now, on with the show. So, I read the Alienist novel and its follow-up, The Angel of Darkness, a long time ago. And the series, or movie adaptation, had been stuck in development hell for a long time for whatever reason. Now it's a new series on TNT. Like I said, I read it a long time ago, so I don't exactly recall the specifics, but the story started out the same as I remembered it. Good job. Now, the story centers around a reporter, John Moore, and a psychologist, or as they were called back in 1896, in Aliens, Dr. Kreisler. Kreisler, maybe it's pronounced? But a young boy is murdered, and Dr. Kreisler recalls a case he had where a mother had brought him her son for treatment who liked to wear girls' clothes. Now, the boy and his sister were murdered, and the crime was never solved. Now, the show starts with a number of new murder of the young boy, prostitute, who is dressed as a girl. Doctor starts putting the two together and thinks that maybe this may be the work of a serial killer. Hence, the series is launched. If I have any issues with the show, it's the main casting. With the exception of Dakota Fanning, everyone seems to be a bit off, especially Brian Garrity, who plays Teddy Roosevelt. Now, he doesn't even resemble him to me. Certainly my history could be wrong, but I always envisioned Teddy Roosevelt as a large, looming personality, kind of the same as the book portrayed him also, if I remember correctly. Now, he's being played like he works in IT or something like that. I think it's a bit off on that casting for him. Now, it's just one episode, too, and there's plenty of room to adjust the characters and make them a little bit more like they were in the book or, Teddy Roosevelt in real life. Now, the good thing is I'm really interested. I want to see where this is going, and the cinematography is really good. I'm getting a really good feel of 1896 and the footage you're showing us, and I just hope I feel more for the characters than I did when I first read the novel. There are 10 episodes, which I assume would cover the first book. And then hopefully if they get season 2, they'll probably move on to the second one, The Angel of Darkness. But I give the first episode a very optimistic thumbs up. While not perfect, I'm anxiously awaiting more episodes. Now, on the Star Wars front, a new trailer for Rebels has been released for the final episodes. Now, it dropped some really cool footage, including the Emperor and Yoda. For me, Rebels has always been a kind of an enigma. They've had some really good episodes, but there's always seems to be some piece in every season that kind of pulls you out, questions how the show is, how good it is. The first and last episodes of every season have been really strong, but then they have these episodes where they're space whales, and they have helicopter lightsabers and stuff like that. But I'm splitting hairs here in a little bit, but one of my favorite television series was Battlestar Galactica. You know, a few years back, they had an episode where everyone was boxing. And I remember thinking, wow, this took me right out of it. But it didn't change how much I really liked the series and where it went. Based on Rogue One, we kind of know that Hera and Chopper live. The big question is the fate of Ezra and Kanan. Now, in my opinion, they're both going to die. I would like to think that every Jedi has to be dead, so it wouldn't ruin the sanctity of the original trilogy. You know, but Lucas gives us examples against even that right in our face, too, because Yoda and Obi-Wan, well, they lived for 20 years, and they were arguably some of the stronger Jedi, so we can't assume that every Jedi was hunted down and killed. The problem therein lies with two Jedi in the Rebellion who were actively fighting against the Empire. This wouldn't be consistent story-wise if the two Sith Lords left alive two known Jedi in the Rebellion. So, It'd be like the U.S. government not dealing with Bin Laden. I think Kanan has to go out in a blaze of glory, or is going to go out in a blaze of glory. But I have no idea what the plan is for Ezra. The trailer also did show a sign from the Mortis arc from the Clone Wars, whereas the Mortis area dealt with just the balance of the Force being kept between the father and his son, who represented the dark side, and his daughter, who represented the light side. And the plan was for Anakin to take the throne of the father, so he could, only Anakin was strong enough, or the chosen one was strong enough to replace him, to keep the children from destroying one another. How Ezra and Kanan would fit into this, Obi-Wan and Ahsoka were not powerful enough, so Ezra and Kanan are? Oh, please don't go there, Rebels. We will have to find out how wrong I am in a couple weeks. And if you watched the Star Wars Show episode recently, they also had a segment regarding the novelization of The Last Jedi. Now, prior to seeing this, I was not really all that interested in it or that high on it. The Force Awakens novelization was not that good. It basically read like a screenplay. It didn't bring any insight or anything into the story that you saw on the screen. So the point of the novel should be to expand that vision of the picture and get, you know, deeper inside the thoughts and the minds of the characters. And none of that was present at all for The Force Awakens novelization. But I'm really excited for the inclusion of the cutscenes and literary explanation of Force projection. And it's certainly my hope that they fix what was missing from Force Awakens. You know, I just want to hear the thoughts and read the visuals. I want depth, you know, so help me as excited to read this. And now, this week, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to add a new feature to the podcast called My Top 5. And each episode, I kind of want to run a top 5 list. And since this is a pop culture podcast, we can basically have a top 5 of anything. I'll start out simple as to something that we can all relate to, and we all have a top 5 that we can probably roll off the top of our head initially, and as time goes on, we'll get a little more in depth. So for the first top 5, I'm going to go with my top 5 movies. One of the criteria I had was that I needed to have each movie on more than one platform. So if I owned it on VHS, or I owned it on DVD, or if I own all of these movies digitally too, as it is now. But I bought them in previous platforms. If it's a brand new movie, probably wouldn't include it in that. One that did not make the list that I don't have on more than one platform is Guardians of the Galaxy. The first one, I would say that was number 6 if we're going top 5, but we don't have that. So if they don't own a movie more than once, usually it's a good movie. So for me, number 5 is Clerks. Now, never before have I, felt so that I could be a character in a movie at all until I saw Clerks. You know, I can identify with Dante and Randall in different ways, and in so many ways, the both of them. The movie really speaks to me, and these were two guys going through a day punching buttons on a cash register. And as I said in the previous episode, Star Wars, hockey, dick jokes, I'm in. So number 5 for me is Clerks. For number 4, it is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now, there was so much good about this movie. The unorthodox hero, basically a bookworm. He's a college guy. Compelling story, even to a 10-year-old, which was how old I was when I saw it. Here's Han Solo when he's punching Nazis. Come on. Number 4 for me is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And to stick with the Nazi theme, which there seems to be a lot of Nazi themes in my life, number 3 is Saving Private Ryan. And now, I was born in 1971. I grew up in the 80s. And we did not really have the slightest inkling of what these brave soldiers did on D-Day until this movie came out and put it right into our face. I mean, an amazing cast. Even if you take out Tom Hanks, the cast is still amazing. all those guys that play those minor parts in the side were just well cast. Spielberg did an amazing job. The ending is so good. Spoilers. Him falling to his knees, begging the headstone that his life was worth it. It still gets me goosebumps. Number three is Saving Private Ryan. Now, my number two movie is a kind of surprising move, if you know me mostly. It's Star Wars. Star Wars is number two for me. This movie defined me. I'll never let go of it. I'm 46, and I love it as much today as I did when I saw it as a six-year-old. I don't care if the dialogue and acting is bad. I love this movie. I watch it today, and the last 20 minutes, to me, are still as exciting and compelling as they were 20 years ago. And the Force will be with me. Always. Number two, Star Wars, A New Hope. My number one movie is a bit, it's an old, very old movie. It's Casablanca. The characters are what elevate this higher than the great story. I mean, even the minor characters knock it out of the park. Ugarte, Senor Ferrari, Captain Renault, Victor Laszlo. I'm not even talking about Rick and Ilsa as of yet. Bogey's cutting sarcasm, Bergman's undefinable beauty. Rick just gives everything up, including the woman he loves, just for the greater good. I like to quote Star Wars movies a lot, but Casablanca is clearly number one. Can't recommend this movie any higher than I can. And that is my top five. I wanted to kind of break off for a bit of a second to, on a personal note, I'm going to start my stem cell transplant on January 29th, which would be Monday as I'm recording. I don't know when you're listening to it, but I don't know what this will do to me physically. So, I don't know of a future schedule. It could be like normal chemo for me, which I kind of bounce back relatively quickly from that. In a couple of days, I'm fine. Able to function normally, but this is the only ball game for me, so I'm not quite sure where it's going. There's also a chance that I could possibly die and not make it through it. So it's a high dose chemotherapy that they hit you with, and certainly that possibility exists. And the hardest part of dealing with having cancer is, what it does to your mind. And it's not just a physical fight, it's a mental one. The mental one is the tougher one. I'm thankful for my wife, my friends, and everyone who has said a positive note to me. Honestly, this week I had a real difficult week. It's been tough. But I'm hopeful that all will go well, and you'll certainly be able to come back podcasting as soon as possible. Anyone else out there listening who has something similar or is having a tough time, I'm with you. I hope this I hope to be back as soon as I can. I plan on a number of guests that I'm trying to secure, and I'm just learning how to do this, so it might take a little bit me to work out the kinks, and we'll get some different people on. I want to talk about the next podcast, the Netflix series Dark. I'm two episodes in, and I really want to talk about it. And I'll have an all new top, my top five too. So I'm going to hear your top fives too, even your top five suggestions. So if you could email the show at vagueanduconvincing@gmail.com. The show Twitter is unvaguepod. And on Facebook, it's at facebook.com/vagueanduconvincing. My personal Twitter is thewhim, thewhim. And once again, thank you again for listening, and I'll talk to you.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Miss Elsa. I never expect to see you again.
It's been a long time.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of water under the bridge.
Some of the old songs, Sam.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
is Rick?
I don't know. I ain't seen him all night.
When will he be back?
Not tonight no more. He ain't coming. He went home.
Does he always leave so early?
Oh, he never. Well, he's got a girl up to the Blue Parrot. He goes up there all the time.
You used to be a much better liar, sir.
Leave him alone, Miss Elsa. You bad luck to him.
Play it once, Sam. For all time's sake.
I don't know what you mean, Miss Elsa.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it, Miss Elsa. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Sing it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.